Welcome, everybody, to the Hello Show, a podcast about classic Macs and modern Macs and all the geeky stuff that surrounds them. My name is David Lawrence, and we've also got David Kendall.
Hello.
And thank you for joining us. This is episode 4 of the Hello Show, and we can't thank you enough for joining us. We've got a few things to talk about. We've had a guest that we've been trying to schedule, and he's been having some conflicts, so we're still working on that. Hang tight. But in the meantime, we've got some things to talk about, don't we, David?
Yep, we do. And I think we're going to start off with something you wanted to talk to me about.
Well, I wanted to ask your opinion about something, and because I've been working on a little project. It's kind of a new site that I've been working on, and I've thought about whether to have like membership forums on the site where, you know, everybody gets a username and a password, and you can post things to the forum and replies and things like that. What do you think? Does anybody use message boards anymore? Forums?
I don't know if they use them anymore. I don't think I've signed up for one in quite a while. But I did used to be. I used to develop web forums a long time ago.
No kidding.
I used a thing called Invision Powerboard, which is still available. What they did was, after promising for years and years and years they wouldn't make it paid only, they finally took it paid only, and it was about. More than I can still afford now for a license. So, but yeah, I coded right. up some modifications for that. If you search around on the web enough, you can probably find them. And if I read the code today, I'd be horrifically embarrassed by how poorly written it is.
You're a rookie then, right?
In the sense.
Well, the thing I thought of is that when I do Google searches, oftentimes message boards will pop up with very useful information and links and pictures and all kinds of things. And my idea was kind of a community where people could post ideas and pictures and rules and things like that. And I thought, you know, what's a way that people do this nowadays? I mean, is the message board still used anymore?
Yeah, I mean, this is on the... What is it? Weepocalypse.com.
Yeah, it's my new brainstorm.
Yeah, so that's for users of the Wii. Is that just in your area, or?
No, well, you're tipping my hand here, but Weepocalypse.com is going to be a Wii tournament site where people invite friends over and they have like Mario Kart tournaments or Wii tennis tournaments, boxing, whatever. And I've held a few of my own, and I had so much fun that I thought it'd be nice if people could share, you know, what they do when they hold such tournaments, like the rules, what kind of prizes they give away, things like that. And so that's how I kind of got the idea. And doing some searching, there's really not a whole lot out there on it. And so there's a need here. But anyway, I was just trying to brainstorm some ideas on how people could share their ideas and photos and things like that. And gosh, message board was the only thing I could come up with. But there's got to be a different way.
Right, yeah. I mean, it very much depends on what type of site. I mean, I think it would be very suitable for this kind of site, a message board.
Right.
But you have to be careful what software you choose there as well.
Right. Yeah, and I have no background in this kind of thing.
I mean,
and the other thing I'm scared of is that how spammy these forums can get, you know?
They can, yeah. I mean, one thing you might want to consider instead of a message board, you could have a WordPress MU setup, the multi-user WordPress thing, so each member could have their own blog and have it like that. Do you see?
Yeah. That seems a little, because the idea would be to have a bunch of people on it, so I don't know if that would get messy or not.
I'm talking about the WordPress MU here. The thing where you have one installation and then you can have anybody who comes along can come up and set up a blog on your site.
Hmm.
It's kind of like WordPress.
That's interesting. I've never heard of that before.
It's WordPress.com, but you host it yourself, basically.
Right. Huh. There is one message board that I kind of drew some inspiration from, and it's the 68K Macintosh Liberation Army. Mm-hmm. They've got a great forum, and, you know, they post pictures there, they post how-tos on modding classic Macs. It's at 68kmla.net. You can find the forums over there at 68K Macintosh Liberation Army. That's a great message board, and it's lively and it seems to be updated all the time. It's kind of a good model of how these things can go.
I mean, but you have to be careful. I mean, we talked about this last week. You have to be careful when you're taking inspiration from a website about classic Macs and older computers, because the people there tend to be very friendly and they don't tend to be much spam. I mean, we talked about that in regards to comments on your site last week.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully we users are the same breed as classic Mac users. Hopefully they're a friendly bunch, but I don't know. It's just an idea. I just wanted to ask your opinion on it.
It's okay. Seems like a great idea. So you have a Wii, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Do you have Mario Kart?
Oh yeah. It was actually the first game I got for it, because Mario Kart for the Super Nintendo was probably my favorite game of all time.
Super Mario World was always my favorite on the Nintendo.
Oh, that's a great game too. Yep.
So many good games.
And now I've gotten a few more games with it, but I've held a couple of these Wii tournaments, and they've just been such fun that. You know, I wanted to take it a little
I think I spend more time on the virtual console playing NES games than I do on the actual Wii games.
Oh yeah, the classics
are
great.
Yeah, it's great to put them in.
Yeah, I've got a bunch. Yeah.
Maybe we could.
And you know, $5-$10 a pop. They're not too expensive.
And maybe that could be our next episode of the show. Do it while we race each other on Mario Kart.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Periodic interruptions. Nah, you overtook me.
Right. You and your red shell.
Oh, the blue shells are the worst.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Well, yeah, because they're so random. Now, David, who do you race as? Who's your favorite character?
Yoshi.
Oh, okay. You like the fast starts.
Yeah, when you're talking about when you accelerate when the number two on the
starting
line.
Yeah, that
takes a while to find, but once you've got it, it's a neat little trick.
I'll be darned. Yeah, my guy is the little Koopa, the little turtle guy. He's my favorite. Either him or Luigi, because he's all around good.
Have you unlocked the thing where you can actually race as one of your Miis yet?
I have not yet, no. I've got a bunch of the other hidden characters, but I haven't unlocked that one yet.
I think I unlocked it. I can't remember. I don't use it. If I do, I did unlock it.
Right. All right. Well, thanks for your opinion on the forum thing. And now, speaking of websites, you're undergoing a pretty big transformation, I hear.
Yeah, I'm switching from the WordPress publishing platform to a platform called Chyrp, Chyrp.
And why would you be doing this?
The first reason is that I hate WordPress. The second reason is that Chyrp is much better for what I want to do. And the reason I say that is that the links on my site, what I do is to produce the little links that I post between like big articles. You know what I'm talking about there.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that I do, that all I do is I set a WordPress custom field named source to whatever URL, you know, the link is going to go to, and then I pick in the skin coding, it just picks up whether that custom field is set, and decide whether to show it as a link or as an article based on that. And that's not very good because in the RSS feed it just ends up going to the permalink page instead of just going to the URL. But Chirp actually has a link function built in. The basic idea of Chirp seems to be that it's a self-hosted version of Tumblr.
Right.
So you can have... you can configure which... they're called feathers. Which feathers or which types of post you want to use. And by default it ships with the ones that Tumblr has. Photo, text, link, quote, video and audio.
Conversation.
Yeah.
Does anybody use that one? I've never used Conversation before.
I have seen it used, yeah, I think so.
Huh. Well, good for them.
So it comes with all of those, and you can configure which ones you want to use. But it's much, much neater and much less hacky than code in the skin hack to do the links.
Right. Yeah, Tumblr makes it really easy to just grab something and throw it up on your blog. And so Chirp, you're saying, is more like that.
Yeah.
Huh.
The main problem I'm having with the transition, I mean, the skin is mostly coded up now. If you want to see my progress on it, by the time it goes out, I might have switched the main site over. But if you want to see my progress on it, right now it's actually... The test site is actually hosted at helloshow.net/chirp, where I'm testing out all this stuff and trying to get it coded up right. And the skin is actually more or less coded up now, but what I think I'm going to have to enter all my old posts manually into the thing, which is not going to be fun. Because the way it doesn't import the links correctly because of the little hack I used.
Oh no. So it's coming back to haunt you.
Yep. So once I've got that all done, then it'll be much better overall.
Well, great. I'll tell you, since I switched to Tumblr for my personal blog, I've loved it. It's so simple and it's so clean and very easy. And I don't know if I like the social aspect of it, but it helps because it's almost like an RSS reader where, you know, you can follow certain people. But with the Weepocalypse one, I thought about hosting something like that on my own, but Tumblr doesn't offer you a way to do that. So I'll have to look into this Chirp.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really nice thing. The problem is that it's relatively new, so the user base isn't exactly huge yet. You don't have the support that you have with Tumblr or WordPress.
Right.
That's the main issue.
So when do you think you're going to make the switch? Or are you just gonna peck away at it?
I think I'll switch as soon as I've got all these posts transferred over. Mm-hmm. I mean, the skin isn't quite done yet, but I think it's near enough.
Right, and you're pretty finicky about how your site looks, so.
Yeah, I post updates for the minor changes to my site.
Just so everyone knows.
Just so everyone knows, yeah. Well, right. It's also a little record for me. I remember when I made that change, yeah.
Right. A self-reminder.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, good luck to you, sir. That sounds like a fun and exciting project.
Yeah.
And let me know how Chirp works out, because I might try it for something else, too.
Yeah. So this is a Mac podcast. We should really be talking about...
Holy moly, it is.
Macs, so...
Yeah. You're thinking that maybe we'll get some new MacBooks here pretty soon.
I'm thinking, well, we had the MacBook... The ordinary MacBook, the white one, was updated along with the iMac, so I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, but the MacBook Pros are definitely... The Mac Pro and the MacBook Pro are definitely going to be updated pretty soon, I think, because it's been, I think it's been almost, I think it's been almost a year since they updated the Mac Pro.
And last summer they did the MacBooks, right?
Yeah, that's was it June? June,
Yeah.
July? So
That's
it's
when I got
about
mine, was
seven,
right
eight.
after the new one.
Yeah, right. So 7, 8 months since they changed those.
And now they've got a
And they've
new
got.
processor out, right? Like an
Yeah,
i5 or
they.
something?
Yeah, the. Well, if you go to Dell or somebody else, then you can get a PC laptop with like i7 chips in them, quad core.
And that's the one they put in the iMac, was
That's the
it?
one that, well, you have to do a BTO to get the i7, but you can get the i5 if you get the top end model, then you can get that.
Gotcha. So isn't it nice that they can throw these new processors in and not have to worry so much about heating issues like they did with the G4 and the G5? So, but yeah, that so I mean, when have they usually dropped new MacBooks? It seems like at the beginning of the year, like they did the 17-inch model last year, and then what, sometime over the summer? Is there a schedule? I don't know. It seems kind of random.
Well, I don't think there is a schedule, no. I
Right.
mean, WWDC is far too far away for them to update it then. I mean, it's June, July, it's not soon enough. I mean, if they're going to stay competitive, I think they need to update it before then.
Right. Well, because Apple always likes to have the latest and greatest, at least for a while, in their laptops. And so now they're behind the curve. Now I got my MacBook Pro last summer, the 15-inch model, and I have dubbed it the world's most perfect laptop. I think it's just a remarkably beautiful machine. It almost performs better than my iMac, my brand new iMac that I got. I think it starts up faster than my iMac does. But it's I mean, the size, the weight, the sturdiness, it's the most wonderful notebook I've ever held. Definitely.
Which iMac do you have? The 27 inch?
No, the 21.5 inch.
Oh, right, okay. Well, that kind of makes sense then.
Yeah. But I thought here the desktop model with more RAM and everything would be a little bit snappier, but I'll be darned, that little MacBook puts it to shame sometimes.
So you actually have a weird computing setup then, because you must have a high-end desktop, which is basically what the iMac is now, and a high-end notebook, which is not normally what people have. Normally, they even either have a high-end desktop and a low-end notebook, or just one high-end notebook, which they might connect to an external display.
The MacBook Pro is kind of a business machine. I do all of my freelance work right through that MacBook, and so all my invoicing and all my design and projects are held on the MacBook, and it's business only. It's just for my freelance work. Where my iMac is my personal machine. It's where I do my web browsing and my writing and things like that. So that's a different differentiator.
Right. And you don't, do you still use your iBook G4 then?
Yes, I sure do. That's kind of my bedroom machine. I play my iTunes music and podcasts and things through that. I do some web surfing, like if I'm in my room or something. And also, I still use my iMac G3. I run my financial software through there, like my budgeting and things like that. I run through Quicken 2000, and then I do a lot of gaming on the iMac too, with like the SimCity 2000 and Warcraft 2 and a couple of other games I have on there.
Yeah, I still run my iMac G3. This is my main machine.
Right, that's what you're recording on.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, mine's the original Bondi Blue iMac, and it's a great machine. It's got OS 9 on it, and it does just what I want it to. I also just hooked up my new LC520 the other day and messed around with that a little bit. Well, you talk about a simple machine. It does not have anything on it. I mean, it's got text edit and the Apple CD player, and that's pretty much it. That's all it's got.
Are you going to sync your Newton with that as Get them made.
Yeah, that's my next task is to get the Newton utilities installed and then hook that up.
Well, that'll be great because you won't have to mess with the USB adapters anymore.
Right. Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. And also, it gives me a chance to try the Apple Extended 2 keyboard for some writing. I want to try some writing projects on it. So.
Right.
Should be fun.
Yours is used, isn't it? You got it used.
Yes.
That's unlucky. But boy, that...
But your Extended, you tried to get one too,
yeah,
right?
It's insane. It went for like 50 quid. I mean, they're old and they're great, but they're not worth that much.
Right. Now, how hard is it to get classic Mac hardware on the island there? I mean, do you pay a lot for shipping because you're in England?
No, not really. I mean, I don't know what shipping charges are over there, but I think they're pretty reasonable.
Okay.
I mean, if you get, well, you get them from the UK eBay, then they're expensive, then they're cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I've bought several things off the American eBay site, and shipping was not cheap from there. Like, I got the DVD drive inside Donald here. I got from America.
And you paid a pretty penny for it, shipping-wise.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that must be something nice about the British Isles there, is that, you know, when you're going to ship something across country, it's not that far. When you ship something across America, it's going to take a couple days.
Yeah.
How do you have good luck finding stuff on the UK version of eBay? I mean, is it hard to find Mac stuff on there?
Anything after Steve Jobs came back, you're fine. You'll be able to find it. There's always going to be at least one of the model you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But anything before that, don't bet on it.
Right. So the classic stuff is a little harder to find.
Yeah. I searched for... I was looking for another extended keyboard to buy after I failed to get the other one. And there's actually right now an LC, I think 575, selling.
Hmm.
That comes with an Apple extended keyboard. And I think it's going for about £30 at the moment. It's still not finished.
Are you going to try for it?
No, I don't think so.
You don't want the LC. And then we have a memorial today that you wanted to recognize.
The sister of James Duncan Davidson, Duncan the photographer for loads of big conferences. He does photography at TED. He does, I think, South by Southwest. His sister has just died of cancer, and he's posted a very moving post on his website at duncandavidson.com about how he feels, and I think we ought to recognize that. So our thoughts are with you, Duncan, and your family.
Yeah, it's too bad when you hear about anybody's close family passing away. And I think with us, because we follow so many, you know, writers and photographers and tech geeks, sometimes you feel like when their family passes, it's, you know, it's almost part of your family. I remember back when Andy Anako's mother died. And, you know, I've never met Andy. I don't know him from Adam, but... But the stuff he wrote about his mom really touched me, and that it made me feel a little bit closer to him just for sharing it. I think it was incredibly brave for him to share it. So our hearts go out to him.
Yeah.
All right, David. Anything else for this episode?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, a bit of a shorter show this time as well. We're still waiting to hook up with our interviewer, and he's a busy guy, so we're just waiting for a chance to open up. But in the meantime, we thank everybody for listening once again.
So I think that about wrapped it up for this show.
Alrighty, sir. Thanks again, everyone, for listening to episode number 4 of the Hello Show. You can catch us on iTunes and, drop us a review, drop us a star review, you know, put the little stars in there, just, make it official.
Make sure you give us a good one. We don't want any bad reviews. If you are going to give us a bad review, please, you know, write something and give us some constructive criticism. We'd love to make the show better.
Right, we don't want Engadget-style reviews. Like the comment section.
So, yeah.
And keep sending your mail. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, and you can reply to us on Twitter. But it might take us a little longer to respond by that, because I don't check the Twitter account as often as I check the mail.
You can find me at newtonpoetry.com. I've got links to all my stuff up there. And David, where can people find you?
You can find me at dpk.org.uk.
Great. Well, thanks again for listening.
Thank you very much. And tune in next time.